I'm going to read a verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to get Austin to lead us in prayer. I feel like that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Austin's grandfather was one of my heroes in the faith. I've sat under his preaching many times and had my soul stirred and blessed beyond measure. I love it when God does the unusual. In fact, I believe sometime even us Baptists get in a rut. We just do the same thing the same time. And who needs an order of service when you go to the Baptist church? You know what? I think the devil knows what we're going to do. So every once in a while, throw him a knuckleball, a curveball. Hit him in the head with the bat. I love it. God is good. And it's not riding on me. It all hinges upon God. The book of Lamentations, that's the book in the Bible where all the pages are still stuck together. Most people don't even know there's a 5-chapter book called the book of Lamentation. But I'm interested this morning in several verses, particularly one. Let's begin reading in verse number 21, chapter 3 of Lamentation. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, makes this statement. This I recall to my mind. You know what we need to do sometime? Just stop and think a minute of what God has done in our lives. He said, this I recall to my mind. And he said, when I do that, therefore have I hope. When you read these 5 chapters, it seems like the abyss, the pit of hopelessness. But in the midst of it, he said, I have hope. He said, when I recall this to my mind. What is he recalling? Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It didn't say defeated. It didn't say losers. It uses the word consumed. It'd be like a field of hay being consumed by the fire. It's puff and it's gone. By the way, you know why we've not been consumed? It's because of what? Verse 22. The Lord's mercies. Anybody here today, God's been merciful to you? God's mercies. For it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because, say this out loud with me, his compassions fail not. God loved me yesterday. God loves me today. He'll love me tomorrow. God's compassions fail not. Notice what he said about God's mercies and compassions in verse 23. They are new every morning. You say, preacher, I believe God used up all of his mercy on me yesterday. Well, when you walked out, there was mercy tracks around your house. God's got a brand new supply today. Preacher, I believe yesterday I consumed all of God's grace and all of God's love. Nope. When you woke up this morning, there were grace and love tracks around your house. God's got another load of it for today. They are new every morning. And now he just talks to God a while. And he gives him praise and adoration. And from his hopeful, grateful heart that's overwhelmed with God's mercies and grace and kindness, he says, say this with me, great is thy faithfulness. When he thinks about God's mercy, when he thinks about God's love, when he thinks about how good God has been and faithful God has been to him, he quits talking to you and I and he lifts up his head and says, great is thy faithfulness. He's been talking to you and me for 2 verses. He's bragging on his Lord to you and I. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. They're new every day. And then he quits talking to you and me. And it's as though he lifts up his eyes and says, great is thy faithfulness. I want you to turn to somebody sitting beside of you or behind you and look at him and say, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Talk to somebody beside you, in front of your hand, and say, it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Turn to somebody and say, I'm telling you, it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. Now, look up into heaven. Talk to Jesus a minute. And just tell him, great is thy faithfulness. Go on, try that one time. If you got vertigo, you're already sitting down. Great is thy faithfulness. Now look at me. I'm going to tell you something. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Steve, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Joe, it's of the Lord's mercy we're not consumed. Jesus, great is thy faithfulness. Bob, it's of the Lord's mercies. Richards, it's of the Lord's mercies. Santa Claus, it's of the Lord's mercies. Wes, it's of the Lord's mercies. Earl, it's of the Lord's mercies. Yeah, Lord have mercy, Miss Fields. It's of the Lord's mercies. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Jesus, great is thy faithfulness. And because he looks up to the Lord and says, great is thy faithfulness, now he looks at you and me and brags on the Lord to you and me again. And look at verse 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Read this out loud with me. Therefore will I hope in him. And what is our hope? Great is thy faithfulness. Austin, I want you to come, son, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray that power on me your pawpaw had. And then we're going to get into this message this morning. But I believe more than ever, we've got to get our eyes on the faithfulness of God. When I can't, he can. When they won't, he will. Come on, son, pray for us. Hallelujah.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here in your house this morning. We're thankful that we can sing praises and worship you. We thank you for all those that have gathered here. And Lord, I just pray for Brother Joe. May you just touch him. May he present the gospel to us. And may his word carry out. And may your light shine upon all of us here today. You know each and every need that is in here this morning. I just pray you be with those needs. Be with all the services that go on throughout this morning. May they praise, honor, and worship you. We pray for our missionaries who continue to spread the gospel all across the four corners of the world. We just love you, we thank you, and we praise you, for it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
All of God's people said amen. Thank you, son. I love my Bible, and I'm thankful for my Bible. You realize this morning, if it wasn't for my Bible, I would not know the Lord, nor anything about the Lord. The Bible is not everything that God knows, but it's what he wants me to know about him. Now, there are a lot of titles and descriptions given to the Bible. Words like precepts, statutes, oracles, laws, scripture, his word, thy word. But to me, the most precious and powerful is this title, the Word of God. Do you realize what you just said when you made that statement? Say it with me. The Word of God. Because this morning, that is exactly what it is. It is the Word of God. It is the Holy Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God. It is the perfect Word of God. It is the eternal Word of God. It is the everlasting Word of God. It is the Word of the living God. And if it wasn't for that, we would not know anything about our wonderful God. And the reason why it's called the Word of God is because it's not only from God, it is about God. Say that with me. It's not only from God, but it is about God. You want to know more about the Lord? Know more about your Bible. Because it magnifies the greatness of our God. Why? It tells of His existence. I know there is a God because the Bible tells me. It tells of His reality in your life and in mine. It magnifies His existence, His person, His character, and His many, many different attributes. Why? It tells us of His perfection, His holiness, His divinity. It tells us of His glory and His presence. It tells us of His sovereignty and His authority and His power. It tells of His love and mercy and grace and patience and long-suffering and kindness that's been extended to every one of us in this room this morning. But of all of the great attributes of God, the one I believe today we need to know more about than ever is the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Just to say those words thrills my soul. The faithfulness of God. And I believe in this world of distrust, in this world of disloyalty, in this day of bewilderment, confusion, and uncertainty, the child of God more than ever must pillow our head and place our trust in the faithfulness of God. I was in an automobile not long ago with several distinguished, well-known pastors. If you didn't believe they were wonderful, ask them. They would tell you that they were wonderful. And one of them talked about Fauci and the CDC and the World Health Organization and all of the political ramifications. And he looked at me and he said, I don't trust anybody. Who can you really trust in this day? Well, I want to say this. I may not can trust the government. I may not be able to trust the HOWHO or the WHOOW or the CDC or the ABC or the NBC or the FOX. But I'm glad today my faith is not built on them. I pillow my head, I place my trust today in the faithfulness of God. Do you realize today people are saying that in this day of disjointed, broken, unfaithful relationships? I don't have anybody I trust. Who can you trust? I know this is carnal, but I get that way sometimes. You say, why are you preaching? Absolutely. You can't preach to Baptists to not get carnal. But I was thinking about the gold truck episode. When there's a gold truck coming through Mayberry, Most of those rednecks from where my wife grew up had never seen that $1 million on the gold truck. And they come and tell Andy, that's okay. But Andy has a little wiry deputy named Barney, Mr. Tight Lips, who will go to his grave with secrets that he will not tell. And before you get to a commercial break, everybody in town knows that the gold truck is coming. Andy and Barney go out to Wally's filling station, and there's Goober. Every town, every church, every family has got a Goober in it. And there stands Goober, and he walks up to Andy and says, "Hey, Andy, when the gold truck coming?" And Andy looks at Barney and said, "Barney, you weren't supposed to tell." And Gomer said, "Andy, I didn't hear it from Barney. I heard it from Laura Lee Hobbs at the barbershop." And finally, Andy says, "Who can you trust these days?" And Barney turns around and says, "Well, you sure can't trust Goober, that's for sure." And Andy says to Barney and Gomer, somewhere between the Mint and Mayberry, there is a gold truck worth $10 million. And me and you and Gomer and Laurel Lee Hobbs has got to see it through. Now, if you did not enjoy that or you're familiar with that, you don't realize what time you've wasted in your life by not being familiar with Barney and Andy. Because if you'll watch enough of that, you'll see somebody on there that represents somebody in your family. And it may be you. But as Andy threw up his hands in disgust, "I'm preaching to families, I'm preaching to pastors, I'm preaching to people, I'm preaching to parents, I'm preaching to the people of God, and we're almost to the point we've been lied here, we've been misled here, we've been deceived here, nobody knows who to trust, who to believe, and we throw our hands up sometime in total agony and despair and say, I can't trust anybody." But I want to remind you this morning, I want you to leave this room today knowing your faith is not in your husband or your wife. It is not in your children or your grandchildren. It is not in your church. It is not in your preacher. It is not in your family. It is not in your friends. And it's sure not in yourself. But this morning, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. We pillow our head today on the fact that God is faithful. God is faithful. He's been faithful to you. He's been faithful to me. And I love that one line in the song, "And He will be again." The word faithful is mentioned 107 times in the Bible. Now think about that. That little word faithful is mentioned 107 times in the Bible. Sometimes it is referring to a faithful believer. And when it does, it's referring to a faithful believer that God can depend on because he is consistent in his Christian life. But 70% out of that 107, it is not referring to a faithful believer, but it is referring and glorifying and magnifying our supreme, righteous, holy, eternal God who is faithful. Therefore, our faith is in the God who is, listen to this, consistent, dependable, unwavering. Our faith is in the God who has never failed, who is not failing, and who will never fail. Boy, I want to be a faithful husband. I want to be a faithful parent. I want to be a faithful preacher, a faithful pastor. I want to be a faithful Christian. But at my best, somewhere along the line, I will misstep. I will misspeak. I will make the wrong decision. I will make the wrong turn because I'm still plagued by a body of flesh and a mind that is striving more and more to be like Christ. If you examine me, if you examine me far away, if you will examine me up close, you will have no problem seeing the flaw, the miscalculation, the indecision, the imperfections in my life. But I'm not asking you today to look to this pulpit for consistency and dependability and unwaveringness. I'm asking you this morning to look up into heavens, beyond the ceiling, beyond the clouds, and sitting high, occupying the throne of his sovereign power. It's the God who's never changed, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is dependable, who is consistent, who is unwavering, who is unchanging. God is faithful. He was faithful to Noah. He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Moses. He was faithful to Joshua. He was faithful to Jeremiah. He was faithful to David. He was faithful to Joseph of Arimathea. He was faithful to his disciples. He was faithful to the poor and faithful to the hungry and faithful to the needy. He was faithful to Simon Peter. He was faithful to the Apostle Paul. He was faithful to young Timothy. He was faithful to your forefathers and my forefathers. He was faithful to your father and faithful to your mother. And he's been faithful to you and your family and your life. And he'll be faithful to the next generation. He can't be nothing but consistent, but dependable, but unwavering. He is the unwavering God. He is the consistent God. He is the faithful God. We rest in God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. He's faithful, dependable. Jesus never fails. We come this morning. Boy, my introduction's better than my sermon. We come this morning to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter number 3. Read it again. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Can I use some country vernacular here? Just stop and think about it. Just stop and think about it. Right now, close your eyes. Don't think about the weather. Don't think about the election. Don't think about the pandemic. Now look up here at me. What did you just think about? They're all three that I have mentioned. Tell me, if everybody close your eyes. Ready? Think about God, his mercy, his grace, and he's calling somebody right now. And he says, this I call to my mind, and when I think about it, he says, I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies they were not consumed because his compassions fail not. And they are new every morning, said with me again, great is thy faithfulness. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I found those three verses in Lamentations, I'll have to admit, I said, Lord, that ought to be in the book of John. That ought to be in the book of the Revelation. That ought to be in Ephesians. I mean, that ought to be in one of them books that gives people hope and faith and courage in the midst of their trouble. And God said to me, big boy, I knew what I was doing. I put those words where my children needed them the most. And I thought about it this morning. Usually, you know, when you're going to get a word of faith and courage from God, when you need it the most. The Bible said a word that's fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. You remember years ago in the 70s, that was a little commercial on TV about English lather. You say, what is that? That is cheap shaving lotion you give your distant kin that you don't want to spend money for polo on. And the only difference between that and toilet water, it's had some kind of fragrance squirted in it. But you remember they put that on there and they'd go, wow, thanks. I needed that. How many has ever just needed the Lord to come to you in a time of deep despair and go, hey, my mercies are new. My compassions fail not. You see, the book of Lamentations is five chapters where Jeremiah the prophet literally is preaching the funeral over the nation of Israel that's been destroyed and defeated by the enemy. That's what the book of Lamentation is. It is a funeral message preached by the prophet Jeremiah over a nation that has sinned and forgotten God, and they're being judged by God. Seemingly everything is lost. In the 37 years I preached hundreds of funerals, and I've always done two things in every funeral that I preach. I've always reminded you and the congregation on the reality of death. Death is going to come to every family. It's going to come to every life. It's going to come to every home. There is nobody escape that except the rapture. But I promise you, you've never heard me preach a funeral and walk out without saying, but Jesus got up from the grave and guaranteed a greater resurrection than in the midst of the flowers and the casket and the passing of a loved one, in the midst of the grief and the pain and the hurt. There is the blessed hope and wonderful assurance that Jesus is coming, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and there's a heaven to gain and an eternity to live in, and we will see, hallelujah, our loved ones again, because there's hope in the midst of despair and anguish. For three chapters and 19 verses, it seems like the prophet has been piled on with anguish and grief. But buried up under all of the sorrow, buried up under of all of the pain, Lord have mercy, is a little seed of faith. And you say, what's so big about that? Well, think about what one seed of grass does on asphalt. Can I run one rabbit if I hurry? For those of you this morning that woke up and watched the G7 summit about how, you know, we ain't gonna have no trees, not gonna have no grass, because we need that new Green Deal, because all these cars is bad for grass. When you go home today, look to your right, look to your left, and you know what you're going to see that's growing right beside all them exhaust pipes going by? Grass. You need to talk to my son. For the 16 years we have been in this facility, one of his assignments is, boy, get the grass out of the parking lot. Now, you would think paving over it, spraying it, would we be gone? I'm telling you, sometimes I thought we're going to be gone. You can get it with I've even had our staff with earmuffs on and eye goggles with weed eaters turned upside down with a little string. And brother, we have done everything we know to do. But somewhere up under this 17 acres, in spite of climate change and global warming and AOC and ABC, we got a little seed somewhere that somehow finds its way to spring through all of the trouble, all of the asphalt, all of the weed be gone. Can I say today, when Jesus came into your heart, he impregnated in you a seed of faith? Lord, I'm sounding like one of them TV preachers. Lord, have mercy. But it's true. He impregnated you with a seed of faith and a seed of hope. 1 John said, that which remaineth in you is perfect. It ain't talking about your mind. It's not talking about your flesh. It's not talking about your will. But it's talking about the seed of holiness. My God, help me. And the seed of hope. And the seed of faith. That's buried deep into your heart. That's buried deep in my heart. And sometimes it's piled upon with anguish. And sometimes trouble. And trial. And hurt. And pain. And disappointment. But honey, aren't you glad? Buried deep in the heart, hallelujah, of your soul and mind is that seed of hope and that seed of faith that'll spring forth every time and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know it's dark. I know it looks bad. But think about this. It's the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. God's mercies and compassions fail not. They're fresh every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, this morning, above the pain, above the misery, above the bewilderment, above the hurt, above the distrust, above the confusion, let's look up toward heaven and just say, Lord, thank you, thank you. Great is thy faithfulness. God's dependable. God is trustworthy. He is faithful. Time would fail me this morning to preach on every passage that deals with the faithfulness of God. In fact, the matter, that'd be a good series to run. But I'm going to skip all of my points, Brother Brian, and go to the very last one. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 9. I'd like to tell you about Hebrews 2, that faithful, merciful high priest. I'd like to tell you about that 1 Thessalonians 5. Faithful is he that calleth you and will do it. I'd love to get that Hebrews 12 passage. The author and the finisher of our faith. Glory. I'd like to get that one of the Psalms where it said, the faithfulness of God I shall declare to all generations. I'd like to get that 2 Timothy 2. And this one blows my mind. Even when we believe not, he abideth faithful. I'd like to talk about the unmerited faithfulness of God. I would like to talk about the unconditional faithfulness of God. I would like to talk about the unending and unfailing faithfulness of God. But I'll close this morning with the unlimited faithfulness of God. There are no boundaries and borders or limits to God's faithfulness. Now let me preface the verse this morning with this little statement. 1 John 1, 9 does not give the believer a license to sin. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does liberty or grace license the believer to go against the will of God and the word of God and the laws of God and the spirit of God. There is no license for free, unconditional sin in the Bible. It does not exist. You say, well, what's that verse in there for then? I'll tell you what it's there for. Because when you and I are not faithful, when you and I are not righteous, when you and I are not spiritual, you say, Pastor, who do you think you're preaching to? You and me? I want you to turn right now to somebody beside of you and hold out your finger and say, hey, buddy, you're not perfect. Go ahead, sister. He won't. So I've been wanting to do it since Wednesday. I'm not going to let him have it. You turn back and say, you're no trophy yourself. I'll tell you what we're going to need instead of a soul winning clinic. We're going to need a family clinic. I'm not always faithful. I'm not always righteous. I'm not always perfect. In fact, he says the verse before this, if we say we have not sinned, we lie. Do not the truth. So this is not a license to sin, and this is not a verse of hopelessness. But brother, we better hang our hat on this one. Read the verse, if we confess our, plural. If we confess our sins. You know what the word confess means? To admit it, to acknowledge it, to accept the blame, to accept the punishment. I used to love when revival would come to Dad's church. He'd always start the revival on Sunday morning preaching himself. And for all my life, for the first 22 years of my life, I heard this illustration every Sunday morning before the revival would start. They'd say, here's how you pray for revival. You draw you a big circle and you stand in the middle of that circle and you look up and sing this little song. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know who needed Wednesday night more than any member of this church? Your pastor. You know who needs this morning's message more than anybody in this church? Your pastor. You know who needs the Holy Ghost and the hand of God and the fresh anointing of the Spirit of God in their life more than anybody in this church? It's your pastor. Man, I want revival. I want renewal. I want refreshment. I need it. I'm beggarly. I'm needy. I need God. I need the blessing. I need the strength. I need the courage. I need the hope. I need the joy. I'm going to confess my need for God. If we confess our sins. Notice these next three words. Say them out loud with me. He is faithful. He is faithful. What is he faithful to do? Forgive us of our sin. Unlimited, watch this now. And to cleanse us from one, two, three, four, five, some, a few, a lot, many, most, I'll get it right in a minute, all, not some of our sins, not a few of our sins. Not most of our sins. Not a lot of our sins. Not a majority of our sins. All. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He forgives all. He cleanses all. He answers all. He accomplishes all. He does all. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, hallelujah, when it comes to the faithfulness of God, it is unlimited faithfulness. I was thinking about an illustration. And the greatest illustration to me are Bible illustrations. So let's use one. Next week's Father's Day. Bless God, I want a bunch of crying and flowers and balloons and gifts. I want it all. A free meal, a free gun, some bullets, some hunting boots, some fishing stuff. You bring golf clubs in here, the phone out. And anything with Yankees on it, baseball, that gets out too. Traitor. You know, every church has a goober. I guess we got a Judas. That's what staff members do. They get paid but make, be made fun of them. God is good to us. Next week's Father's Day. So this is on my heart. There was a young man, Mark, in the Bible, unnamed, but they could have called him Joe or Shane, Mark, Tom, or Earl, because we've all been there. Thought he knew more than his father. He thought home was a terrible place to live, and the grass looked greener on the other side. And the Bible said that father divides unto him his living. I want to tell you, according to what I read in the text, his father was very wealthy and rich. And no telling at the money and the livestock and the treasures that that boy hauled from the father's house to the far country. And the Bible said when he got there, he didn't give it, but he spent it. You say, Pastor, what's the difference between giving and spending? All my life I've tried to live for God, I've been given. Those years I didn't live for God, I was spending. And can I tell you the difference between giving and spending? When you spend it, you lose it. But when you give it, you get to keep it. Well, glory. To spend your life living for hell and living for carnality, you never get that back. But the Bible said, give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall men give to your bosom? You spend it, you lose it. But if you give it to God, you get to keep it. He didn't give it, he spent it. Now he's broken. He's broken down emotionally, physically, financially. He's wasted his substance. When he hits rock bottom, the first place he thinks about is home. The first thing he thinks about is bread. And the first person he thinks about is father. Would you agree they kind of all go together? Home, bread, and father. This morning, what made him think about home? He knew he had one. What made him think about bread? He knew home had some. And what made him think about father? Because he's the one that was at the house with the bread. And when that boy got to the end of himself, he said, I will arise and not go home. I will not arise and get me some bread. I will arise and go to my father. Because he knew, honey, if he ever got to father, he'd make it home and he'd get the bread when he got there. You know why he thought he could go home? You know why he wanted to go home? Because that father had been so faithful. That boy knew, even though I was wrong, even though I was sinful, even though I flubbed the dove, even though I blew his substance, even though I shamed his name, I just got enough confidence that my father is consistent, unwavering, unlimited. He'll be faithful. He knew me when I was home. He knows me while I'm gone. And he won't be ashamed to own up to me when I get home. So he dropped the pail. He kicked the rail. And he hit the trail. And he couldn't even get all the way back home till the father met him. And the father kissed him. And the father loved him. Oh, you say, what's better than the robe? What's better than the ring? What's better than the shoes? What's better than the calf? When that father put his arm around him and said, I want everybody in here to know, this is my son right here. This is my son right here. He was lost. He's found. He was dead. He's alive. He found the father faithful. Whew. Great is thy faithfulness. He has two more chapters to go. The problem is still there. The destruction is still there. But that seed of faith, that seed of hope, is bursting up through the clods of despair. Because there's one thing going to pull him through. The faithfulness of God. Turn to somebody and say, so the Lord's mercies were not consumed. So the Lord's mercies were not consumed. Turn to somebody and say, hey, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be here. Now look up and talk to Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. The old country bluegrass Saturday night front porch. Pickers would sing. It's me again, Lord. I got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I got a problem I can't solve. I don't mean to worry you. Here I am with something new. When I need help, it only comes from you. And you got to do, 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 do. It's me again, Lord. My daddy heard me singing that. I was got, boy, I had that chord. Not Corey, but Corey's brother. I had that G run, and son, I lifted that thing right on up there. My daddy come busting in that room. He said, what'd you just sing that line? I said, I don't mean the trouble. He said, I hope you're not talking to God. I hope you're not talking to my heavenly father, because you're not troubling him. You get on my nerves, and you trouble me, but you're not bothering him. You're not troubling your heavenly father. Oh, but Preacher Joe, I'm so ashamed. I asked him for help yesterday. I'm so ashamed. I used all of his mercies up yesterday. Oh, Brother Joe, is there grace still available? Is there mercy still available? I don't want to bother God. I don't want to aggravate God. I don't want to get on his nerves. How can you get on the nerves of a Savior who leans over the balconies of heaven, my God Almighty, with two nail-pierced hands saying, come boldly to the throne of grace. Pour your heart. My ear's not too heavy. My hand's not too short. God is faithful today, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. Woo. God will